what I'm trying to do is look at the assassination as a scientist. How would I apply science to the issue of the assassination? Now, Vincent Bugliosi had a book come out in 2007, which is about 2,000 pages long, and he says anyone that reads this book will be convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that Oswald killed Kennedy and acted alone. So I'm a lazy guy. I don't want to read 2,000 pages. So I wanted to look at his science. And I went in there and looked at his science, and I found some interesting things that I didn't know. One is that small objects can't push large objects because they're just too small. Well, I didn't know that. I know something moving very, very fast, if it hits a larger object, can move that based on momentum conservation. Mm-hmm. So something was wrong there. The other thing I found was that soft tissue can redirect the path of a bullet through high-angle deflections. Now, this I did not know either until I read his book. And lastly, I found it's very hard to push a child on a swing because you actually have to push against the full force of gravity. And that was a puzzle to me because I know I can push my daughter easily on a swing, but it's kind of hard to lift her. Then I read on page 488 that Vincent Bugliosi says, I had avoided taking physics in high school. And then I understood it, you know, why he was getting all this wrong. So I started off writing him a letter and said, you know, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And I showed it to a friend and he said, don't write him a letter. Write your own book.
Write your own story.
Well, that's a good advice, actually. So that's what happened.
Let's go through some of the analysis here, and you tell us the science behind what's right with it, what's wrong with it. Now, you looked specifically at what? The headshots?
The headshot, I think, is the key to resolving what happened to Kennedy. What didn't happen to Kennedy is to go back and look at the theories that have been posed before, and the main one by the Warren Commission is the single bullet theory. And that's the only way you can salvage one guy committing this crime is mm-hmm. because the Zapruder film shows that Kennedy, you know, is fired at, say, Z210, which is a frame in the film. There's like 500 frames, so Z210. But Connolly's reacting at Z236, and that's about 20, 26 frames. The Zapruder film runs at 18 frames per second. So that means you have to get two shots off within 1.3 seconds. Well, unfortunately, you can't do that because all the live fire tests showed the fastest you could fire and aim that gun was about 2.3 seconds. So the only way to salvage that whole model is to say one bullet struck both guys. And this is the single bullet theory. Right. Now, the problem with that is you got a bullet entering Kennedy's back, and Bugliosi admits it hits him in his back at a downward angle from the school book depository. Then it goes through and strikes the lung. We know that because the official autopsy says the lung is damaged, which is consistent with the experience of the Dallas doctors. They couldn't maintain integrity of the respiratory system.
And not the fatal shot, but it might have been, right? It could have been.
It could have been fatal, sure. Yeah. Any wound from a bullet, you know, is potentially fatal.
Yeah.
But this one, we know it hits his back and his lung. If it hits your back and your lung, it's got to come out through your chest. And that's what happens to Connolly. It hits him in the back, punches straight through his chest, and shatters his ribs. If you say it hit Kennedy first, it's going to have more energy and velocity inside Kennedy's body than in Connolly's.
Mm-hmm.
But this model requires the bullet, instead of coming at his chest, which you know doesn't happen, they say the lung deflects it up through his trachea. It's got to go up from the lung to the trachea, going up and to the left. Well, if it does that, it's going to clip his jaw and sail out over the driver's head. So that doesn't even work. So now what you have to have is the lung redirects the bullet backwards, up to the backbone, and that redirects it back down again at a higher than 90-hour deflection. That is like shooting a bullet into somebody and having it bounce back out. It's absolutely absurd. I mean, it's a great model if Kennedy's bones are made of depleted uranium or if he's the bionic man. Otherwise, for normal humans, it doesn't work. So that's absurd.
All right, so we get this single bullet theory,
right.
And you, based on your work, say, uh-uh, there's more than one bullet there.
No way, right. And if you look at the timing of how the shots are, when Kennedy emerges from the sign, from behind the sign, he's already clutching his throat. Connolly's not reacting, but his lapel's flopping out. So people have done computer analysis and say, well, that's when the bullet hits him. Well, the bad news for that problem is human reaction times are not infinitely fast. In fact, if you have a friend drop a ruler between your fingers and try and pinch it, you don't know when he's dropping it, you'll get about an 8-inch drop, which corresponds to about a couple 200 millisecond reaction time. Well, if Kennedy was shot 200 milliseconds earlier and you know he's clutching his throat, it's got to be that. The bullet's traveling 2,000 feet per second. That bullet is 400 feet downrange. by the time Connally's lapel flops out, which means unless that bullet hung in midair, like they say in the movie JFK, there's no way that one bullet could have caused both wounds. So the single bullet theory boils down to another marvelous theory shot down by a brutal gang of facts.
Was Connally in the wrong place at the wrong time, Paul?
Connally was in a very bad place, and he was in the line of fire, and a guy shooting from behind from the depository, you know, either obviously missed at least one shot, and then he got hit.
All right, so triangular shoot?
I think so. I think there's at least two assassins. There could be more. Once the single bullet theory fails, the Zapruder film tells you, you have to have multiple shooters. There's no way out of that. And that's where I get into the issue of the headshot. What happens to make Kennedy's head recoil backwards?
You know, I remember they were saying that because of that shot, the body jerks back. You get hit in the back of the head, the body jerks back. I found it, I never quite could understand that, Paul.
I talked to G. Robert Blakey, who headed the House Assassination Committee in 78, and he also thought that was ridiculous, and the jetting theory is ridiculous. The reason it's ridiculous is, again, the human reaction time issues. By Z312, Kennedy's sitting there facing forward. By Z13, he's already, you can see the shot impacting and the jetting from blood under pressure squirting back out. It's getting a little graphic. I apologize. But by the very next frame, Kennedy's already moving backwards. Now, as we just discussed, you got a couple hundred milliseconds before he's going to be moving backwards. Instead, within 50 milliseconds, he's already doing his movement. So any model that recites muscle spasm fails instantly because humans can't react instantaneously to an insult, at least not by muscle spasms. But they can if the bullet is propelling them backwards. Then they'll react immediately because the bullet's pushing them back. So that theory's out the window.
Why did the Warren Commission take the position it took, in your opinion?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons. I think the main problem with them, you know, scientists fit models to data. The Warren Commission did the opposite. It fit the data to a model. It had a model that Oswald acted alone, and it didn't really want to look beyond that paradigm. And it went around and tried to assemble all the evidence they could that said Oswald acted. Well, now, FBI actually had given them reports of people who had seen multiple people up in the school book depository. Multiple people standing there, and there were a number of people who were reporting that. And those reports were forwarded up to the commission by the FBI, but they never reached the collective consciousness of the commission for some reason. The other problem was the commission actually changed the wound. The wound hits him in the back, and that's recorded by, you know, the wound of the shirt, by eyewitness testimony, the Seibert O'Neill report says it's 5.5 inches below the counter line. Well, Gerald Ford decides he's going to move that wound to the back of the neck. Then the single bullet theory could possibly work because he's hitting the neck, it comes out his throat. That makes sense. Unfortunately, one way to guarantee getting the wrong answer is to alter the data. And that's what the Warren Commission did. And the Assassination Records Review Board came out and examined that and found that Ford altered the data. And he said, yeah, I altered it for clarification. That's what he said. So this is why the Warren Commission got the wrong answer.